Yeah, I can't get the writing light to save my life. The writing light? Did I just say the writing light? I can't get the lighting right, and I can't say it either. Hello, everyone. Martin Zenner, another week into the book of Revelation. Now, there was an interesting... You notice how I jumped right into it? Did you see? Did you catch it? I was amazed myself as I began to say the sentence. There's an interesting law in Israel called the Law of the Jubilee. Every 49 years was the end of a cycle, and the 50th year was the year of the Jubilee, meaning that any property that you had mortgaged or leased during that time would return to you. So let's say you have a piece of property you inherited from your fathers, and you were hard up and you wanted to lease it or sell it even, but you can't actually sell it because... it belongs to you by nature. You could only lease it because it would return to you. There were no title transactions in Israel. There were only borrowing. You could only lease the land. So you farm it out to somebody, but it always came back to you. It was a way of equalizing things. It was a way of... I'm not very keen on financial things, so I always struggle in this department. Mortgages and interest and loans, you know, I hate all that crap. So I just only want to know what I barely need to know to understand the Jubilee. And all I know is that things were restored. There's a passage there, Leviticus 25:33. You couldn't sell or lease the land forever. You couldn't give it away forever. It came back to you. As to me now, being a simpleton, if you are a smart person, you could sell it like a year before the Jubilee, and then you'd end up getting it back. So you get the... But who would buy it a year before the Jubilee? But according to P.T. Barnum, there's one born every minute. So I would put an ad in the Jerusalem Post or the Nazareth News or the Tiberius Times, and I would do it the year before the Jubilee. I would sell that sucker. I wouldn't lease it. I would get, you know, $10,000, and then on the Jubilee, I'd call the guy up and say, guess what? The Jubilee's here. I'll be taking my property back. And the guy has no recourse. He can't get his money back. He's just one of those suckers born every minute. But... Now, before the Jubilee, if you had foolishly lost your property or leased it or whatever, couldn't get out of it, you could redeem it. Now, that's why redemption is different than deliverance. I'm going to compare the unveiling. I'm going to compare this scroll to the scroll that was sealed and opened for property. Remember, I said that the seven sealed scroll was like unto a... You like my biblical language? I liken it unto a legal document, and it is. So you could redeem it. You could say, I changed my mind. There's still 20 years to the Jubilee, so I want to get it back. I want to buy it back or whatever. Kind of like Monopoly. When you sell your property, when you mortgage your properties, because you need money, you can buy that. Once you get money, say someone lands on Kentucky Avenue and you happen to have three houses on there, I think that's $180 maybe. I don't know. No, it must be more. $600? Kentucky Avenue, that's the red bunch. You can buy your property back. That's called redeeming it. You can redeem your property. Now, if Monopoly ran like Jesus runs the law or God runs the law there, then after so many trips around the board, you would automatically get your properties back. Even people you sold your property to. Imagine selling Boardwalk to somebody who had Park Place, needed Boardwalk. You sell Boardwalk to them. They build hotels on it. They're getting all sorts of, you know, wealth. And then after 10 trips around the board, you get Boardwalk back. That's like a relief to you. It's like, oh, you know, and so then the person who gets it can't really be an ultimate possessor of it. This is all good news for Israel. It's good news for us. It's good news for creation, and I'm going to explain that to you. Believe it or not, as this show progresses, and I see it's progressing rapidly. I'm getting to it. Hold on there. So the seal, once you made a deal with the land, the scroll was sealed. So the breaking of the scroll meant that there was a scroll in the first place where this legal transaction, and the breaking of it was the sign of a forfeited allotment, an open scroll, the token of a tenancy redeemed before the Jubilee. Did you get that? I didn't either. What the hell is this? I'm going to slow down here. A sealed scroll was the sign of a forfeited allotment. Okay, so you have an allotment of land, you forfeit it, you screw up. I'm thinking of Esau. Take this as an example, because we're going to raise the picture and show that all humanity has forfeited an allotment. We have all blown it. Everybody's screwed up. Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. Now, and all of humanity has screwed up. And just when you think you can't get it back, it's almost like, okay, we're signing away our life. That's it. Here's the sealed scroll. I decided to sell my land. We're going to make a legal document of it. We're going to seal it. And then I'm screwed. There, now it's yours. So Esau did that. Here's my birthright. I'll trade it for that bowl of soup. And you're going to have it now. And humanity has basically said, we know we have no chance with God. We'd rather sell our souls to the devil. We'd rather have our temporary pleasures in this life than to join God. Of course, they're thinking of the Christian God. And so they basically said, all right, we know we're lost. Here, God, take us. We just signed a contract with the devil over here, or Capitol Records, or Sony Pictures, or whatever you'd like to call it. And we know we're done. And here's the shock. Here's the shock, is that God remembers that deal you made. You sold your soul. You forfeited an allotment. But the open scroll means that a tenancy is being redeemed before the Jubilee. Okay? And so if the guy who sells the land decides, I changed my mind, I want it back. The analogy here is at any time, anyone who sells their soul to the devil or gives up on God can change their mind, i.e. Saul, the Apostle Paul. And they can, of course, God is acting on them to do this. I know that's the absolute viewpoint. They can say, I changed my mind, like Jonah. He gets into the belly of the whale and he says, I changed my mind. So he wants to buy back his allotment. And so the scroll is open. Now, that's if you want to redeem it early. To redeem it before the Jubilee, you have to open the scroll and go through this. Now, at Jubilee, though, it's redeemed involuntarily. You automatically get it back. That's what we're seeing in the unveiling. We're seeing a scroll forced open, and those people who had no intention that they would ever have anything with God, they had given that up a long time ago, they're going to be delivered. They're going to be actively taken, whether they like it or not. So look at the types. Can you see the type here? When we consider the scroll, the seven sealed scroll in Revelation 5, a legal document rather than a book to be read. It's a type of the grander and greater course of the eons, because everything that was forfeited during the 50 years before the Jubilee was restored at the Jubilee, so that everything that had been lost during that time would be recovered. Now look at it in the big picture. Everything lost to humanity is going to be regained. And Jesus Christ is going to take back his creation forcefully. Forcefully. When he delivers everything. But again, you can come into an early redemption of that. When God gives you the gift of belief, the gift of faith. So you either come now, quote unquote, voluntarily, you know what I mean by that. You don't ultimately absolutely volunteer, because God drafts you into his army. And he gives you the faith. The one day wake up and say, oh, I have faith in God. I wonder where that came from. Somebody just asked me that question in an email. It's a good question, Martin. The love that I have for God, where does that come from? Does it spring from some wonderful well of love within me? And I said, no. And I quoted Romans 3, verses 10 through 18, or 11 through 18, somewhere around there. And all are locked up together in stubbornness. So it's a mercy of God that anybody would be redeemed. That is to seek God early and say, I want my life back. I screwed it up like the prodigal son. He forfeited his allotment. There we go. He sold it. He basically said, I'm cashing in. I don't want this land anymore, these riches, this wealth that my father would give me. I'm going to spend it all. And so He did that, and he came to his senses in a pigsty, and he said, I want to redeem. So if the father had had a legal document that had sealed the son's fate, like, you forfeited this, you're screwed until the Jubilee, well, he could find a redeemer. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, I think. I shouldn't say what I'm going to talk about the next day, because sometimes it doesn't happen. He could call up that document and say, I want this back. And so then you would open the scroll. You would open it. And an open scroll, as I just told you, was the sign of a tenancy redeemed. And his tenancy, quote unquote, was his inheritance. And he wanted it redeemed. And if he hadn't, it would have come back to him at the Jubilee, I think. I don't know how that works with fathers and sons and inheritances, because, again, I stay away from all that stuff. I hate anything to do with money banks. These people like Susie Orman and these guys, Dave Ramsey, these money people. God, you have to have a gift for that stuff, to give a rat's about it, to give a crap about insurance and 501(c)s or retirement funds or 401(k)s or 807WZs is what the I just and taxes. Oh my God, don't talk to me about taxes. I pay people to do taxes because I can't do it. I just can't bring myself to get entangled with the legal proceedings of humanity. Now, albeit these are God's legal proceedings, so I take a little more interest in it. Not much, though. I'd rather be snatched away among the celestials. I'd rather live in the new creation where there ain't no money, honey. You know, I think these bonds, speaking of bonds, what are savings bonds? I don't even know what the hell a savings bond is. I had some when I was a kid. Don't know what it is. I own a house and I'm not even sure what a mortgage is. What the hell is a mortgage? I don't understand. So people try to talk to me in financial terms. This is very difficult for me. I'm doing this for you and for myself. I want to learn what this scroll is. So I'm struggling here. But I think I get the bigger picture. I love it when the analogy is made, because then I can forget about the frickin' thing the analogy is based on, and I can say, oh, yeah, humanity has sold its soul to the devil. God's going to buy it back. In fact, he bought the whole field to get the treasure, and he considers me a treasure. Wow, that's interesting. So it's so great that humanity can't screw itself. That's the thing. You can't screw yourself. In Israel, you couldn't screw yourself out of your own property, because if you loaned it to somebody or sold it or leased it or whatever, it would come back to you no matter what after 50 years. So 50 years saved you from your own stupidity. Aha! And the consummation is going to save humanity from its own stupidity. And this scroll being transferred from God to the Lambkin is going to save this current eon from its own stupidity, because God is going to deliver it. It's like Indiana Jones shooting that guy at the airport with the samurai sword. Ooh, I'm going to kill you, Indy. And this guy was a big showman and he had all these slick moves. And Indy finally just puts up with it for about a minute, rolls his eyes and shoots the guy. Well, God is finally doing that. The earth had, this eon has been like giving God the finger and giving him the European bird right there. And they've been giving him the what for. And God puts up with it for 6,000 years. And and you got to feel sorry for the martial arts guy at the airport. He thinks he's so cool with his sword. It's like, oh, I'm going to catch you. And it's like this guy with a sword thinks he can come up against Indy, and it's like the world is flipping off God. Don't they realize what God can do to them? And so God finally just rolls his eyes and goes, picks shit up, brings his gun out, and shoots him. That's what's happening. Well, there's an analogy I can understand. That's what's happening in the unveiling, chapter 5, when God just finally rolls his eyes, takes out his gun, and shoots this eon dead and brings in a new eon. Does that make sense to you? You know what? It really does make sense to me.